Elijah, way to say it with excitement. Kingdom building! At this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. And so if you want to quietly make your way that way, everybody else, if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Okay, how many are loving the one-hour time change, getting that extra hour of sleep? How many are excited and grateful for that? Amen. How many are feeling, though, a little hungry because, like, lunchtime should be right now? Oh, my goodness, I'm feeling it this morning. Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, we're so glad that you're here. We are continuing our series entitled Kingdom Building. We've been looking at it for 7 weeks. We're going to finish it up next week. But we believe that as a church, it is so important that we maintain our focus, that we are a church that is mindful of the assignment that our Savior has given us. Jesus, before he went up into heaven, gathered his disciples around them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As followers of Jesus, the Great Commission is not optional. It's not like, hey, you know, if you have time for it, go ahead and do it. It is to be the thing that moves and motivates us, that we recognize that God has called us to be a part of building the kingdom. Now, I'm excited because as we've been working through this, we've been looking at a whole bunch of different things. But next week, as we wrap this up, we're going to have our Sunday morning service. And then Sunday evening, we're going to have a kingdom building banquet at our Dryden campus at 6 p.m. And I would love for everybody to be a part of it. If you know already that you're coming, could you do me a favor? We want to make sure that we have accounts and all that fun stuff. But could you take your communication card and just write your name on it to let us know if you're coming to the Kingdom Building Builder Banquet and then how many people are coming, because we want to make sure we have food for everybody. But we're excited because we have missionaries Mike and Tina Hook that are going to be with us for the evening. They are missionaries to Scotland. How many think that's pretty cool? And if you would like to bring your kilt, I know some of you got a kilt sitting in the back, you know, and you're like, "Oh boy, I want to bring that." Maybe you got bagpipes. Pastor Duane has bagpipes. And maybe we can get him to play a rendition of Amazing Grace. How many would like to see that? In a kilt. How many would like to see Pastor Duane in a kilt? Yeah. I'm sure we can find something. So, but we're going to do a kingdom building banquet. And again, I want to encourage everybody to come out. And again, that is going to be next Sunday at 6 p.m. at our Dryden campus. But in the midst of all of this, we recognize there is a task, there is an assignment, there is a mission that God has given us as followers of Christ. That as a church, we just don't do whatever we want. We need to be intentional about his mission. We've also taken the time to ask the question, well, what does it take to build the kingdom? And if you remember, one of the first things we talked about is it's going to take some time. Because Rome wasn't built in a day. That it takes time to build a kingdom. And then it takes attention and presence. We looked at the fact that, you know what, it's going to require generosity. And if we're going to build the kingdom, we need to be a generous people, an open-handed people. A people that honor God with our tithe, but above that, to be generous of heart that says, you know what, I want to give beyond expectation. Well, today, as we continue our look at what does it take to build the kingdom, we're going to talk about this idea that if we're going to build the kingdom, we're going to have to do it together. We're actually going to have to work together. Now, I grew up in church, and so I went to Sunday school. How many remember Sunday school? And we would sing songs. And every once in a while, in the midst of the song we'd sing, it's like, "Turn to your neighbor." And then you take hands, and then you do this. "When we all pull together." How many remember this one? Only us? How many remember this? Please raise your hand. Okay, Irene does. Okay, good. Okay, a few of us. Dude, I was really concerned there. I was like, "Oh my goodness." Yeah, we do this, and then you get to the part of the song, "When we all build together, pull together, It says, the happier we'll be. Like, there's something that happens when we work together. Did you know that being a part of the church is really about being a part of a group that does life together? It's how we've been doing it since the beginning. If you go to Acts, you know, Jesus begins because the disciples are all like going, hey, are you going to like restore the kingdom? Are you going to make everything right now? And Jesus is like, it's not for you to know the times and seasons, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And what's really important about that is it's not just an individual thing that we're to do, but together we are to bear witness to the fact that Jesus has died, risen from the dead, that he has rescued, redeemed, and he's at work restoring our lives. That it's something we're to be doing together. Jesus would tell his disciples, the way the world is going to know you're my disciples is by your love for one another. How many know that if you really love people, you do stuff together with them? How many know it's easy to love people if you don't have to be near them? Right? I tell you, I am the most spiritually loving person when I am in my office by myself. But when I have to interact with people, good Lord, that becomes work. Right? But there's this idea that from the very beginning, we as a church are called to do life together. And so you'll see, not only does Jesus say, you're going to be my witnesses together, but it says they would begin to join themselves together in prayer. They would be together on the day of Pentecost. At the end of Acts chapter 2, there would be this summary statement of what life in the early church was like. And it says this, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together. Everybody say together. The believers were together and had everything in common. And they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together. In the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's something that happens when God's people make it a habit of coming together, because when we come together, we're able to build the kingdom together. So the big idea I want to think about this morning as we get ready to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is simply this, is that we have been made to make a difference together. That God's intent and his purpose is for us to work together to see the kingdom come. Now, Paul in 1 Corinthians, he's writing a letter to the church in Corinth. It was an unlikely place for a church to rise. It was in a city that was known for its immorality, its low standards, and he ends up going there, and God raises up a group of people to be a church, and they loved God and they were passionate about him, and God did something in such a way that Paul had a habit of moving from place to place to establish churches, but when he was in Corinth, God spoke to his heart and says, listen, I've got people in this city that are to be a part of my church and a part of my people, and he ends up staying there for over a year and a half just ministering, and then after that time, he goes out and he goes to these different places. And after a little bit, he begins to get reports back about the church in Corinth. Now, he remembers the powerful way by which God has moved in the midst of the people, rescuing them from darkness, bringing them to light, and how this great community of faith built up. But over time, he started to get the reports that they're not getting along so well. Now, anybody here ever surprised that sometimes people in the church don't get along so well? I know it never happens here, right? And just so you know, the reason I'm sharing about Corinthians today and about the stuff that's going on isn't because there's a whole lot of friction and factions in our church. That was going on in Corinth. But I think it because it reminds us of the importance that if we're not careful, what happens is we can go about our lives, and instead of doing life together, we get more and more isolated or more and more segmented. You see, even as a church, we may not always deal with the fact that, you know, it may not be that, you know, there's tension and friction that's happening between people. But sometimes in life, the church can kind of just have its members just be busy about all sorts of things, especially their own things. And sometimes just through busyness and individuality, we make church about us. And so Paul, he's like, going, guys, listen, you need to understand the church is really about us doing life together. And so we're going to look at a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we do, just some important ideas to remember. Now, when we get to the end of it, we're going to have a fun little exercise that we're going to do together. How many are ready for a fun little exercise in church? Okay, three of us. Patrick? It's going to be good, Patrick. You and I, we're going to light it up this morning. Okay, this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Just as a body, the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So Paul begins to talk about that. He begins to use an analogy of what church is like. And he says, hey, guys, you know your body. Your body isn't just one part. You make up one being, but there's a lot of parts to who you are. How many know you got lots of parts? You got eyes and ears and nose and all these different things. And Paul's like, hey, you know how it is with you? You know, you're like, well, these are my arms, these are my legs, these are my fingers, these are my toes. You know, we got all these different things. Paul's like, you know what? It's the same way in Christ. Even though we have one Spirit and we've been brought together, there's a unity, but in that unity, there's a whole bunch of different parts. And Paul wants to say, hey, guys, listen, as we think about church, understand the body is made up of many parts, but they are always to function as one. I love this because how many know the church is not a call to uniformity? You know, so sometimes people think that if you're going to be a part of a church, then you all got to look the same, act the same, do the same, and all that. And Paul's like, guys, listen, within the body, there's going to be a bunch of differences. Yet we're going to be one. Because the church is actually called to be a community. I love the word community because community actually has two words kind of slammed together. Common unity. Like what is it that there's something about a community that there's a common unity. Now you could talk about geographic communities where, you know what, we're the Lansing community or the Dryden community or the Ithaca community and you feel like you're a part of a community. If you're a sports lover and you have a sports team, you're a part of that community. It's the thing that brings you together. Well, what is it that brings us together as a church? Is it our backgrounds? Is it the country we were born in? Is it the color of our skin? Is it the amount of money we have in our bank or the money we don't have in our bank? For us, what makes us actually common, the thing that actually brings us together is Jesus. That he's the one that died on the cross for our sins. He rose again to give us life through his Spirit. And we just believe that God cares so desperately about us that he's made a way for us to live in a right relationship with him. And we can begin to live from that place and allow his goodness to begin to change the world around us. You see, though we are one body, there are many parts. And the Spirit doesn't make us the same. Even though there's a unity, that there's still a diversity. Earlier in the passage, he says this in verses 6 through 8, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And it's great because Paul's saying, guys, listen, there's different but same. There's something that makes us common, but there's something that makes us different. The body is not made of one part, but of many. The second thing that I want to note as we get ready to keep moving through this passage is that we are uniquely shaped and placed to serve together. Paul will go on to say, now, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And again, he's just kind of continuing this analogy, saying, hey guys, listen, there's this idea that God has given, you know, created us different, yet he's been strategic in it. Now, if you think about created beings, now we just celebrated dedication this morning. I love kids. How many know kids are different? Like, even if you have like one kid, how many know just because you have one kid a certain way is no guarantee, there is actually zero guarantee that your next kid will be just like that first kid. They'll have to be very different. And you're like going, okay, well, we'll have another one. And then you get a third one and it's nothing like it. And then a fourth. And they're all different. Same parents. Different, right? There's a difference that happens. And it's kind of interesting about created beings because God is in the business of creating people. If you go back to the Genesis account, we learn three important ideas about creation of people. Number one, we recognize that each being is divinely shaped. If you look in Genesis, it says that God formed man from the dust of the earth. That God says, listen, I am going to make something intentionally. David would pick up a thought like this over in Psalm 139 where he says, you know what? God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God would tell Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Because God had an idea about every individual, and he has shaped and formed them to be the person God wants. I want you to know none of you here are a mistake. You may have surprised your mom and dad, but you didn't surprise God. He knew what he was doing when he was making you. We are all divinely shaped. But not only that, we are divinely placed. We are all divinely placed. If you look at the creation account, not only does God form Adam from the dust of the earth, he places him in a garden. It is no mistake that God has created you for the times that we were a part of. Have you ever had those moments you're like, boy, I wish I was a part of a different generation? Like, boy, I wish, you know, there's some people that are like, I wish I lived in the 1800s. I'm like going, no. There's some people like going, oh, I wish I lived someplace else. Did you know that God has strategically placed you in this time and in this season, in this community, and I'll even say in this church? You are not here by accident. That God in his wisdom says, listen, there's something I want to do. And in order for that to happen, I need different people with different gifts and different abilities, and I'm going to strategically arrange and place them. And you need to understand, you are both uniquely shaped and divinely placed. And he's done all of that so that together we might serve the mission of God. You see, we each have an assignment. We each have a task. There's something that God wants to do in us, and there's something he wants to do through us to accomplish his mission. Now, sometimes we get a little hijacked by it because we deal with issues. Anybody here have issues? Anybody sitting next to somebody who's got some issues? Anybody want to share what those issues are? No, I'm just kidding. How many know we have issues? You look in the mirror, you're like going, we got problems, right? Some of us, we're getting old and wrinkly, and we're like going, I don't have as much hair as I used to have, you know, all those things. We're just beings. And sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, you know what? God can't use me because I'm not like someone else. Let me ask you, can God use you? Yes. And the answer is yes. Yet sometimes we look and say, well, how can God use me? You know, I am not musical like Pastor Dwayne. How could God use me? Because Pastor Dwayne, he's just a gift. He's like a virtuoso, all these wonderful things, right? Or hey, you know, I'm not like Levita. Levita's all outgoing and energy, and she's like, she can connect with people, and she's like, and you're like going, I don't even like people. I was going to say something, and I stopped. It was really good. Or you look at someone who's like, oh, they're so amazing with children, and you're like, I can't stand kids. And you're like, God can't use me. I can't sing, I can't play, you know, I just and Paul's like going, hey guys, listen, because in the Corinthian church there were people saying, you know what, because I'm not a hand, what good am I? I'm not an eye. I'm not this. I'm not that. God can't use me. I want you to know that God has uniquely shaped you. And not only that, he has strategically placed you. And part of it is recognizing that, you know what? God wants me to be a part of his purpose in building the kingdom. Not only that, that there are sometimes we can deal with the issue of, you know what, I'm not this. But the other thing that happens is sometimes we can look down on others. And I know in this room there is nobody who ever looks down on another person. But in the Corinthian church, there are people like going, you know what, you're this, I don't need you. And what they were doing it along different ideas of like going, hey, you know what, you're not from my people group. I don't need you. There were people who had money, and then those people who didn't have money, and it says that the people who had money were just like going, hey, you know what? It's about us, because we bring the money to the party, so it's really about us, and so they're hanging together doing all these different things, and the poor people were suffering, and they're just like going, oh, we just got to tolerate them, but it's really about us. And Paul's like, guys, listen. Equally dangerous is to say, you know, can God use me? But then sometimes we can say, can God use someone else? Did you know that in this room, God has filled this room with gifts to be a blessing for his church and to be a blessing for the world? And you don't know that the person you might think is, oh my goodness, I can't deal with them, that God says, listen, there's a grace and a blessing that I want to bring to you through them. Because God uses all different sorts. I love what it says in verses 24 and 25. It says this, that God has put the body together. And he did that so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another, because we are actually called to do life together. So we are uniquely shaped and we are placed to serve together. And for us to be the church God's calling us to be, we all have to do our part. We all have to do our part. Paul like throws this emphasis in verse 27, simply telling the church, now you are a part of the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. There is something that God has shaped. There's something about God placing you because there's an assignment he has for you for the work of building the kingdom. We know what happens with people when there's injury in the body or when a part of the body isn't functioning like it ought. We'll say it that way. What we end up doing is we end up overcompensating. Right, so if you like wreck your ankle, right? And you put a cast on it, and you're trying to like make that thing work, and all of a sudden you start moving around, you start feeling pain in your hip because you're compensating for your foot. Because one part's not doing the part that it needs to be doing, and so there's causing extra strain and extra wear on other parts of the body. And did you know sometimes in the church, sometimes what we end up doing is we say, hey, we're going to let these people do this, and they'll do their part, but we don't understand that what happens is it hobbles the church and keeps the church from building the kingdom as God intends, simply because we don't do our part. You see, we need to do life together, connecting both in community as well as contributing to the commission that he's given us. We've been made to make a difference together. And we need to allow the Spirit to continue to work in us and through us. Now, I love the verse where it says, you know, the same Spirit, different works, and the same different that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. And as I was thinking about this message, my hope for this message, and it didn't work out, and that's okay, was to have a brass band here. Because how many think it would be so cool to have a brass band in church? My dad, growing up, played the trumpet. No, trombone, not trumpet. He had the long one. And every once in a while, because he was the pastor, right? And so every once in a while, you know, he'd have to lead singing. But if he got someone else to lead singing, there were times he'd like, I'm going to break out my trombone. And so he'd sit back, and my dad doing this, right? And if you've seen a trombone, it's a long, lanky kind of thing. And my dad was a bit of a beanpole, blowing on a beanpole. It was a beautiful sight, and he'd make beautiful music, right? And the shape of the instrument affects the sound. Does that make sense? If you have a trumpet's a little bit smaller. There's lots of loops and curves and stuff like that, but if you begin to blow into that, it begins to make a different sound. The shape affects the sound. And I think this is so true about you and me, that God has uniquely shaped us. He's uniquely placed us. And there's the Spirit of God that is blowing through our lives because the Spirit of God is in our lives. And what the Spirit of God wants to do is to cause the sound within us to come out. And we're all going to sound a little bit different. But what would happen if we began to figure out how to do some of the sound stuff together? Okay, so we're going to do an exercise. You guys all ready for this? How many ready for some fun in church? Look at your neighbor and say, let's have fun. Let's have fun. Okay, how many of you brought your singing voice? How many of you are like going, dude, I don't have a singing voice? Okay, good. You're the people we want in the room. I want everybody. So we're going to do a fun little thing. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. And I want you to sing out. Everybody say, sing out. A note. Okay, so I'm not asking you to sing a song. I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. And when I get to 4, I'm going to go this. And I want you to make, just pick a note. Any note. I don't care. Y'all ready for this one? Okay, you ready? Now, for this to work, John, for this to work, you got to be loud. Patrick, I know you were ready for this one. Patrick's like, singing? I am all in. He's leaning into this one. He knows singing is his gift from God. This is like, bless the Lord. Do you want to come up and help me? Yeah. Not yet. We'll get this figured out. Okay, but I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, and I want everybody, just pick a note. I don't care if it's high, low, middle. I don't care. I want you to pick a note. And I just want you to make a sound. I want the breath that's in you to come out as noise. Does that make sense? Any questions on this one? Any confusion? Some of you are like going, I came the wrong day to church because you want me to do what? Don't worry. We're all going to do it, so we're equally going to sound just beautiful. Okay? You ready for this? You can just kind of figure out a note in your head. However you want. This is going to be beautiful. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, stop. Did you see what happened? It blended. Did you hear the first nano part at the beginning of it? It didn't blend. But then once stuff started to sound, do you know what we began to do? We began to bring our voices together. It's a crazy thing. This is why do churches have so much singing? Besides, like, it's like cool words, instruments. Because there's actually a really powerful dynamic that happens, because what happens is we begin to lend our voice together and we begin to sound as one. You see, we've all got a part to play in this big thing called the church, to do the mission. And for it to happen, there's some things we need to do. So one, we all have to be on the same page. How many know that if you're not on the same page, you're not going to be able to actually do music together? Where's my music people? How many of you took piano lessons or violin or trumpet? You were in band. You try to make something up. You're like going, I was no good at it. But hey, let's give it a go. The Bible says, by the way, make a joyful noise. It doesn't say make a beautiful noise. So just bring the joy with whatever you got. We'll take it, right? But it's really interesting that for the church to actually do something together, they actually need to be on the same page. This is why, as a church, we are very intentional about saying, hey, guys, we need to be people who are in God's word, because you know what begins to put us all on the same page is attention to God's word. It becomes so much more than just what I want to do with my life or what I think is important or the things that I can do. It's really about saying, hey, listen, we all need to be on the same page. And the part of the reason we're doing this whole kingdom building thing is because you know what we need to be? We need to be on mission together. That has to be. We all have to be on the same page that God is calling us to be a part of building his kingdom, that the church is more than just an organization where we gather for our own feels. But we're actually here to make a difference in our world for God. And we all have to be on the same page. Not only do we have to be on the same page, not only do we have to, you know, get on the same page together, we also have to begin to tune our hearts together. This is why when we began to sing out that note, it started with some dissonance, but all of a sudden it came in together. And you know what was even cooler about it? When we did that, we all weren't singing just one note. There was actually a harmony that was happening in the room. So anybody here familiar with harmony? What harmony is they're actually different notes that are sung in relation to one another. And what it does is it actually creates a greater sense of just everybody singing the same note. Okay, so we're going to play again. You guys ready to play again? Everybody got your ah. Give me your ah. Ah. Okay, so that was really bad. Some of you are like, this is what we're going to do. Dwayne, you might as well help me with this one, because he's the musician. He's the musical prodigy in the church. Pastor Dwayne, come on up. He's like all ready for this. Don't worry. We'll get some other people up here in a moment, Patrick. I'm just kidding. Because how many know if you can't sing, there's always like interpretive dance. And Patrick's been like going, I just really feel this calling. All right. Okay, so I'm going to play one note. Okay, this is the note. It's an E. Do you want your guitar? Yeah, get your guitar. Just pick up your guitar, because you're gonna get us all singing the same note. We're all gonna sing the same note. This is gonna be the note. Give us an E. And then you're gonna say, do the ah, get ah, so everybody's ahing together. Pastor Dwayne's amazing at this. Ready? One, two, three. Four. Come on, louder. Okay, good. That was good. Okay, we're going to do it again. That's the note right now. Okay. How many know that was not super interesting? But hey, it's okay. We can be a one-note wonder church. Okay, we're going to try it again. We'll do one, two, three, four. You got it? He's going to give us both the up and low. This is good. Okay, ready? One, two, three, four. Okay, that was beautiful, right? How many know there's not a lot of sophistication to that? But did you know that the church was never called just to sing a single note? Because though we are the same, we're to be different. And then God uses our differences through the same sound to begin to bring us together. So what I'm going to need, let me see, who am I going to pick on? Rachel Sharpstein. Can you come up, please, and help me? All right, she's going to help me because I really stink at doing what we're going to do next, which is harmonizing. And then, Steph, you can come up, too. Jeremiah, you can stay. You just wait, Jeremiah. You just wait, right? All right. So what I'm going to do is this. You can come up. You're going to need a microphone. Find a microphone. Grab something. Oh, this is going to be fun. They were all anticipating this. Here, I got one here. Oh, you got one there. Perfect. All right, so give me an A. I mean, your E. Give me your E again. Okay, sing it. You ah. Okay, good. Now give me an A. Okay, you're going to be the A. Can you get it? You found it? Let me hear your A. Let me hear your A. It's okay. We'll take a high A. Okay, now we're going to split the room in half. This is going to be so much fun. This half of the room, you're going to follow the musical prodigy. Pastor Duane, give us the E. Beautiful. All right. Okay, get the A. This is, ready? Everybody here. Oh, good job, Don. I heard you. Okay. Let's try it again. Let's do it one more time. Okay, ready? Give me the A, because this is going to get really good in a moment. Trust me. Ready? One, two, three, four. Oh, beautiful. Okay, where's the E again? Okay, A again. Oh, okay, you ready for this? Do you know your part? This is going to be good. Watch what happens. I'll count one, two, three, four, and you're both going to do it. You're the E people, you're the A people. You're the E team, you're the A team. I'd rather be the A team. Be A Baracus. Okay, ready? One, two, three, four. Okay, did you hear the harmony? There was a different note that began to blend together. All right, can we give it up for these guys? You can go sit down. Give it up for them. So the reason I say this is because what happens when we begin to sound differently rather than just all singing the same note? What if we begin to use our own sound and some of our differences to be on the same page, to be in tune together, and then begin to sing in time together. So what I was doing is one, two, three, four. I'm like, sing. That's timing. What happens when you begin to do it? There's a word that we use in our stuff. It's like in musical worlds called a symphony. Anybody heard of a symphony? Do you know what a symphony simply means? Sounding together. Different voices, different parts, same musical score, guided by a director, and everybody's doing their part, and it begins to create something beautiful and good. And I believe that that's what God wants to do through His church. He wants to bring a beauty that you can't do by yourself. And that we actually have to be in the place where we're saying, hey, you know what? I will do my part. And if we as the church can begin to each do our part, allowing that spirit that's within us to begin to cause us to sing out or to resound His praise with our lives, I believe what it does is it brings a beauty and a good to the world around us. You see, God has brought us together. And we have been made to make a difference together. And there's some things that we can only do if we all do our part. And so may we get on the same page and get tuned and in time together. Because the body is made up of many parts, and we all have a part to play in building the kingdom. It can't just be a few people. It needs to be all of us. My prayer is that we would have a willingness to work together, to allow our uniqueness to be used by God so that we might impact our world together. Because how many know we have a world that needs the love and grace of Jesus Christ? How many know that there's enough junk in this world that there needs to be a beauty that is seen and heard and witnessed? And that's what we're called to be and to do. So may it be that we be the church that actually does life together and builds the kingdom together, where we do our part, where we make sure that we're in a place of presence and connection, where it becomes more than just our own individual lives and our own individual kingdoms and our own individual things, and begin to say, okay, God, you have shaped me and you have placed me. God, how is it that you want me to work together for the kingdom of God to advance? So let's bow our heads as we close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your love and your grace. Lord, I thank you that it is your desire to work in and through us. Though we have many parts, we have one function. We have a unique shape, but we've been placed together to serve. And so, God, may we do our part. Lord, I thank you for the grace that you have shown us in shaping us and placing us. Lord, would you help us be the people that you're calling us to be? Lord, I thank you that each person here has been uniquely created by you. And God, even when we fall short of that which you've called and created us for, you don't give up on us, but you invite us back through your Spirit to know forgiveness, to know grace, that we might serve your purpose. And so, Lord, we come and we just ask that you would sensitize our hearts, that we might be a church that is on the same page together, that, Lord, we begin to tune our hearts together that we might bring glory to you and allow you to lead and guide and direct us, that your name might be praised. Thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
It's your breath
in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Lord, I thank you that you are great. You are greatly to be praised. And God, would you help us be the people you're calling us to be, to serve the purpose you have for us. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be your church. May we do it together well. God, as we go now into a new week, Lord, we're asking that you would help us be intentional about building the kingdom. Lord, I pray that we would have a heart that's sensitive to you, that, Lord, we would be intentional about your purpose. And God, may your name be praised. Thank you for your people, Lord. Bless them as they go, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to know we love you. We're believing God to do great things in and through us. And again, we'd love for you to be a part of our kingdom building banquet. Please let us know if you're coming on a communication card. You can leave it on your seat or on the tables on the way out. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and give you peace. God bless. We'll see y'all soon.